Hey, Katie.
Hey, Teresa Marie.
And hello, listeners.
Howdy do.
We never say hi to them. Hi,
you
guys.
You know what? We actually never do. Like, welcome back. Oh,
hi.
Wait, hold on.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast. I'm Teresa.
Ew, I'm about to cancel.
You have to say it. I'm Katie. Can you imagine if that's how we start?
That would be so unlike us. I'm kicking Teresa off. Wait, what was that diary back from the 90s? I know you had to have it where, like, you somehow unlocked it and be like, welcome back. What's new? Like,
Yeah.
That thing was the tits.
My diary? I had a diary. I think, like, it was, like, fifth and sixth grade. No, you know what? It was, I think it was mostly, like, end of fifth through sixth grade. And then it went into seventh grade a little bit because I did write about September 11th.
Oh, my God. That's so intriguing.
Yeah. But it was mostly... I do. I still have it.
Oh my God. Maybe, might need to rip that out one day. Just maybe, that page. That's very interesting.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to like get anybody. I don't remember what I said about September 11th, but I remember specifically writing about it. Getting my first period is in there. And it was a lot of recaps of Devils games. I'd be like, hey, it's me. Like the Devils played this team tonight and we won by this much and Jason Arnott scored a goal. Like that was like mostly my diary. And then I had the biggest crush on our family friend back in the day.
Okay.
And I would write about him all the time, like everything. And like, he didn't go to our school. So I would be like, oh my God, like he IM'd me on AIM and like we talked for 20 minutes and like,
oh my God,
he's going to come visit. Like we're going out with his family this weekend. Like I was obsessed. And like years later, I found it. I think when I was in high school and I was like, I told him about it. I was like, every other chapter was, I just thought it was so funny. I have to find it. Like it's actually, I'll find it. I'll read you guys like a good.
Please do. I mean, it's just like kind of funny. Like the look back at like your mindset from those ages.
Yeah. Like I really had nothing. I had nothing in my brain when I was.
Do I still have anything in my brain?
I think that the page where I got my period, it was like, I fucking got my fucking period. I think that's like all it said. Like I just remember like big letters. Yeah, I'll find it. That's on my to-do list now for the next week.
Oh my goodness. Please.
Anyway.
Anywho.
You know who doesn't have a diary? Probably Connor Harkness. But you know who needs a diary? Probably Connor Harkness.
Probably.
Anyway, Problematic Summer Romance by Allie Hazelwood, which was like, I wasn't thinking that we would do an episode on this, and then we both read it, and I was like, I think we need to do an episode on this.
So you read it first.
Yeah.
I wasn't that far behind, but...
You weren't, but I thought you were finished, and I was like, text, and then I was like, oh, I feel bad because you weren't done.
It's not like anything earth-shattering.
Yeah, you can't really spoil it, I don't think.
You can't spoil that. But it was... Think of a book that gives you a high, like no other. Like we're talking... I mean, I would say an ACOTAR high to me is still a very different level of a high because that was... I don't know if anything will, it's like a Harry Potter to me as well. Like, I don't know if something will top that. But in the romance realm, I don't know when or how a book might top the way this book. Like, I was in the middle and I was like, do I just restart this? Like, this is so good.
I listened to the audio. Like, I got the audiobook. I listened to the audiobook this weekend. I was like, I just need it again.
Yeah.
And it's not even that I think it's the best of her, like, books, but it's my favorite of her books.
100% my favorite.
Like, hands 100%. Down. And I feel like there's a lot in here that I shouldn't like. Like, I don't like age gap.
Same.
She did it amazing. Like, but it's mostly Connor. Because Connor, okay, jumping right in. Connor is, when they first meet, he's 35, she's 20.
Mm-hmm.
This takes place 3 years later, Eli and Rue's wedding in Italy. The title of this book is very misleading.
Extremely.
Problematic romance, if you take out the summer part.
Yes.
Problematic romance. That would have been a fine title.
Appropriate.
Problematic week. It's not even like a week. They're spending a week in Italy, but this has been going on for 3 years.
Yes.
This, like, push and pull. It starts off early where Maya is, like, kind of, like, hitting on him, and he, like, kind of puts a stop to it. And she's like, no, I'm just kidding. Like, let's just be friends. And then they become besties. What's going on? I see your face.
Oh, someone just put a meeting in my calendar when I wanted to run on a Friday.
Katie's like, actually, I'm busy.
It's my boss.
All right, no, you can't get out of it.
Nope.
But then they had this like 3 year long best friendship that is like 98% communicated through
text
calls
messages.
And text messages. Yeah. They rarely see each other. She spends part of that time in, I think, Switzerland. And he just like maintains a distance from her because from the minute he like actually sees her when she's 20, he's like gone.
Yeah.
So the entire book is like him hating himself for wanting her so bad, but he's like kind of a dick about it.
Yes.
And like normally I don't like that. Like when he calls her like a brat, he like asks her if she's like on drugs. And I was like, ew. Like, and I was like, he's kind of an ass, but like in a cute way.
I think because she writes the dialogue in a way where, yes, he is being a jerk,
mm-hmm.
but you know, he's not meaning it in a malicious, yeah. harmful way. I think what really intrigued, there's one thing that I like that she did with this that I was very happy about, because I'm kind of with you, Teresa. I'm not big on an age gap. I don't think this was an out of the ballpark crazy age gap to me. Like, she's still young. She's a young 23-year-old. But life has smacked her around a bit. So yeah. there is, not to say that you have to have like some trauma and some background, but I do think in her instance, she's, I don't want to call her like mature, but she is mature.
Yeah. And also to add to that really quickly, sorry, but
no, you're fine.
One of the issues I have with age gaps in general, or certain age gap romances, is when the older person is like involved in this person's like life when they're children. And he like knew Maya because of Eli, but he like never spent any time with her. Like when she calls him and, well, she calls her brother, but gets on the phone with Connor when she's 20, he thinks she's 13. Like he's like so far removed from her life that it's not like some like weird creepy where he was like a caregiver for her and now he's like wants to fuck her, you know?
Exactly. Like, yeah. I mean, like, and he, like, yes, there was like some like money exchange that he helped out with in her childhood, but again, was kind of removed because money isn't really a huge factor to him, right? Like,
right.
He's well off enough to the point where if he's funneling some funds her way, it's not making a dent really in his bank account. I think what I also really liked about the age gap, and this is written in a lot of age gap books, not in this particular book, but it's age gap with brother's best friend, right? Mm-hmm. So my initial thought was, here we fucking go. He's going to go, I can't date my best friend's little sister. We got to hide it from him.
Yeah.
He's going to hate me. Like, that's typically the vibe you get in those books. Whereas the brother wasn't even like a thought process or a factor. Like, and I liked that, right? Like, we are older adults, not older. We're not that old. We're mature adults. We can make our own decisions. We know what we want in our life. So if this is who I'm choosing, what's it matter to my friend? I will communicate with him when it is needed. So it was very appreciative that we didn't have this. I don't want to call it childish because it's not. I think it's a thought process that you have because you're doing it out of respect for a friend.
Yeah. But it's almost like a cliche at this point to be like, oh, like we have to hide it. And then the brother comes in and he's like, you can't touch my sister. Like, I know my brother is just different, but like, my brother, especially at this point in our life, like when we were younger, it was different. But at this point in my life, if I was just like, if I was single and I just like was dating one of my brother's friends, like he wouldn't care.
Yeah.
He'd be like, he'd be like annoyed like a little bit probably because he'd be like, oh, just like another person in my life that likes my sister more than me. But he wouldn't like be like, I'm going to beat you up. So Eli too like pulls Maya aside and he's worried about Connor in the situation.
Yeah,
he's
like don't like, hurt him.
Don't hurt Connor because he's different around you. And like, he thinks that Maya is like not taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And Maya's meanwhile, like, no, I've been in love with him for 3 years. Like, you don't know the extent of our friendship because Maya's kind of like asked to keep it hidden because she wanted like them to have like their own relationship, like outside of like the group. But yeah, I love that Eli was actually like, no, Maya, like you can handle yourself.
Yeah.
Connor might get hurt here, so like be careful with him. Like, I loved that.
Also, I think the fact that she was the one pursuing him, I mean, yes, he obviously wanted her,
But he did not do any of the pursuing.
Correct. He kept pushing her away.
Yeah.
And, you know, kudos to her, because I think at a certain point I would be like, you know what? Fuck it. This is not worth my effort. Like, if you are not giving me a lick of your time and I am literally scratching at your door, basically standing naked in front of you, like, fuck me.
This man has the most self-control entire world. So they obviously, like, once they're in Italy together, like, things happen. Yes. Even prior, like, their first, I guess, like, real meeting as adults when she's still in Scotland. He, you know, he gets her off and he, like, does not let her touch him, and he ends up just, like, leaving. And then that happens, like, a few times in Italy where, like, no kissing, no touching. Like, let me be of service to you, but, like, you cannot touch me.
Yeah.
First of all, that would never be me.
Nope.
And the self-control in that man, like, admirable.
Admirable. But see, in my screwed up brain, I'd be like, even if he's trying to pleasure me, like, it's a pity pleasure, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, I couldn't handle that.
I wouldn't do well. I am not.
You would find me crying after and be like, do you not think I'm pretty? You hate me.
Do you hate me? We're so mature at the age of 35.
I know. She's like, at like one point, she's almost like begging to go down on him. And he's like, no, my self-esteem could never.
I wouldn't be able to handle it. No. I'd be shattered. I'd be like, you'll never see me again. Or you hear from me, for that matter.
Yeah, no. Literally, I would take maybe two of his rejections, and then I would be like, I'd have to move on.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it. But, like, good for her for sticking with it.
Seriously.
She
was dedicated to the mission.
I loved how she was so relentless. And not in, like, an annoying way, or even not in a pathetic way at all, because I know in some
books,
I'm like,
she's extremely confident.
Yes. And she knew, like, she knew that her relentlessness was, like, cracking his facade.
Yes.
And that he was struggling with himself so much. And she was, like, loved the fact that he, like, hated himself for wanting her as bad as he did. And, like, that to me is what made the relationship so fun to read.
Yes. Like, you were literally watching this man's walls crumble. Like, concrete, steel-ridden walls were collapsing.
Collapsing.
And that was definitely the beauty of it. And, like, you felt it. The audio, I don't know if anyone has... I would hope that if you're listening, you've read it. Or if you haven't, you know what, go. But...
if you haven't, hang up. Or, like, press
pause. Go listen and come back. Or go read and come back. I will say, though, if you are an audiobook fan.
It was really good.
You gotta listen to it. It's so good.
I only have one complaint about the audiobook.
Which is what?
I know. Okay. The male narrator, which, why am I blanking on his name? Eric Nolan?
Yeah.
He is phenomenal. He does books 2 and 3 of Bryn Weaver series. So he does Leather and Lark and Scythe and Sparrow. He's so fucking good. His voice is amazing. His accent is amazing. Just, like, the way that he reads the characters, 1,000,000 out of 10. But this is a duet narration. And when he's talking as Eli, you can still hear his Irish. Like, you could still hear a little bit of the accent. No, right. I was like, that's my only complaint, is that I'm like, Eli is from Texas. Like, he does not have that accent.
I mean,
but that's literally me just, like, nitpicking. For the sake
I'm
of nitpicking.
Thankful, zero disrespect to a Southern accent.
I don't want to hear a Southern twang in my audiobook.
And I will say, even though I love an accent, all accents, sometimes they are hard to understand in an audiobook. Like, I've actually DNF'd audiobooks to probably move to an eyeball read. Because unless my eyes are closed and I'm in a silent room, I can't hear what you're saying. His accent is extremely, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's, like, very, like, I don't want to say mellow,
it's
but it's subtle, and it's, like, it's very, yeah, I guess subtle would be the right word. Like, it's soothing.
It's soothing. It's not enough. I mean, I ran and I could listen. I was in the car and I could, there was no issue. It's not like I was going, wait, what did he just say? Like, let me slow the speed down so I can interpret what he's telling me. It wasn't thick to the point where you couldn't distinguish what was being said.
Right. Agreed.
So much appreciated.
Much appreciated. But yeah, that was like my one nitpick, but I'd still give the audio experience 5 stars. Like we said, it's a duet. And I know that they cost a lot more to produce and they're more difficult to produce and yada, yada, yada. But I really, yes. I need more, especially in this instance. And like, I'm drawing a complete blank on Deep End, but I think that Not in Love is her only book where you get a dual POV. Not in Love is the only book where you do get a dual. Eli has his own chapters in Not in Love.
Yes.
They're like, it's not like back and forth.
No, but he's sporadic, I thought.
He sporadically gets chapters and they're told in third person where like Rue's chapters are told in first person. I like how she did that. But what I was saying was I think it was great to do the audio the way she did because you are only getting it from Maya's POV. And I think that the addition of the male narrator kind of brings Connor more to life in the audiobook.
I agree. Plus, again, I'd be curious how an eyeball read goes with it if he doesn't have because, again, you don't want Maya to come across as pathetic.
Right. I never read her that way.
I didn't listen to her that way, but that's also what the narrator did. So, yeah, like I'm happy to hear an eyeball read didn't do that as well.
Yeah, because I think it could have gone either way.
Probably.
I loved just like the imagery of them being in Italy. Like, and then Mount Etna erupts in the book. Literally a week after release, Mount Etna is erupting in real life.
Like, what? Did Allie Hazelwood put that into existence?
Yeah, she did. And I'm so happy she brought it to Italy because she's originally from Italy.
Yes.
That's
got to be kind of cool to write about where you're from.
Yeah, so I feel like everything she would... Sometimes I'm like, has this person ever been to this place that they're writing about? You can kind of tell. And this one, I was like, I need to get my ass to Sicily.
Same. I was like, oh, I need another trip now.
I mean, girls' trip to Sicily. Who's coming?
Sold.
I want the like the brioche with the ice cream and the like the iced coffee. Granada, is that what that thing,
yeah,
is what
Granada,
they were saying?
Yeah.
I need that in my life.
It did sound quite appealing, I'm not gonna
lie. And if
lie.
Anybody goes to Greece this summer, get the whipped coffee. I forget what it's called. It might be a frappe. But like it's whipped coffee. Okay. I don't know, I can't explain it. It's so good. So if you go to Greece this summer, anybody who's listening, DM me, I'll find out how you actually order it. Because I ordered it incorrectly the first time and I was like, this is not it. Anyway.
This isn't it.
Anyway, I do like, I liked that. I know people don't love a love interest. I mean, a love triangle. And I wouldn't call this as having a love triangle. More of just like a not even like a miscommunication. Connor ends things 10 months prior to the wedding when Manami and Saul have a daughter. It is her christening. It's like the first time in months and months that Maya and Connor see each other. And I guess like Manami makes a comment or like something about how Maya hasn't been dating. And like Eli says something about how Maya hasn't been dating, like kind of offhand, I guess. And Connor calls Maya like the next day or like a couple weeks later and is basically like, I have to put a stop to this friendship. He's like, I'm going to start seeing somebody. And like, I don't know how I would explain this relationship to them. Mm-hmm. Like, and he does start seeing Avery, who works at their company. And it's like very short lived and it does not progress like into anything. But Avery obviously is invited to the wedding and she's kind of like, she's single and she's like hoping maybe she can like rekindle something with Connor while she's there. But she's like very likable.
Yes.
And I love how Maya was like, fuck, like.
I like her. Yeah.
So like, it makes you think that there's going to be some sort of love triangle. Connor puts like an end to, he's like, we're not together. I don't want to be with her. Like, he's not like, if anything, Maya's the one who's trying to make him jealous. Connor's like, I would never do that in front of you. Like, he's very respectful of it. And he's like, very like puts a kibosh on the whole Avery thing, knowing that it's like kind of freaking Maya out. So it's not really like a love triangle. And I like that.
No, but I think it just kind of...
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off, sorry.
No, you're fine.
But I think it just adds a layer to the fact that he really did try to put those barriers up.
Yeah.
Because he was so adamant that he was too old. She had too much life ahead of her. He didn't want to nail her down to like, I can understand where he's coming from, right? Like, we're his age. So kind of looking at someone who is 20 in their early 20s, I wouldn't want someone, I know in my heart at the age of 35, because this is what I am right now, but I am married, right? Like, I have a family. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I would want for myself. At 23, I definitely didn't want to be married or, no. you know, with a child or anything of that nature. No. Like, I don't think 23-year-old Katie would have any idea what the
I think
that
I wanted it, but I didn't know what the I wasn't even closely or remotely responsible for it. I thought I wanted it for the sake of having it, but not like the I didn't have like the mature enough
the wrong
brain, right?
Yes, like I knew actually, in my heart. Yeah. We all knew like end goal. This is what we want, but not the right timing. So I can understand his push. I think to me, like I took it, I read it as I'm adding another layer to just push you away from me, so you can go live your life. And that's that. Like, I'm not going to say, like, he's like, he literally kept saying, Jared, I'm not going to make you say yes to a marriage or a proposal or this or that. It's like, these are what I want. Like, he was so clear and blunt.
Yeah.
I thought it was so interesting and funny, too, how, like, everyone still assumed that he was, like, in love with Manani. And, like,
yeah,
everyone said, like, even Avery was like, oh, it's not her. It's you. Like,
yeah. Because, yeah, so him and Manami are, like, they were together in college and, like, post, I guess, like, post-grad school or, like, whatever. And they break up and she starts dating Saul and then they get married and they have a baby and, like, whatever. And everybody just, like, assumed that he's, like, never moved on from her.
Yes.
And he had, like, a very rocky childhood growing up where, like, he just was, like, never around what a loving relationship could look like.
Mm-hmm.
And he proposed to her just as, like, a kind of, like, oh, I think she's going to break up with me. And, like, I feel like this is, like, what she wants. And she says no. But, like, at the end, he's like, I don't even think I was ever in love with her. Because, like, now I know what love actually feels like. And, like, that's not ever how I felt about her. And, obviously, like, he could be around her, married, with a baby, with somebody else, all this stuff. Like, he's, like, in their life, like, hardcore. Yeah. Like, they're his best friends. And he's completely fine. He sees Maya talking to
anybody,
and he
the ballet guy.
Yeah, and he's about to lose it. Like his self control is just like cracking.
Mm-hmm.
And I love even after he's like, oh, I guess then we like. She's like, okay, it's been 10 months. I still haven't like I'm still not dating. Yeah. Like you can push me away all you want, not gonna work. And he's like, it just hasn't been long enough yet. Like you just have to try harder.
Like keep going out there. What are you doing?
And then she's like, okay, fine, I'm gonna text. The German, who is obviously we know is Lucas, and well, it's not Scarlett, but you know, and then he gets mad at her. He's like, no, like don't do it in front of me. Like go home and date.
Yeah, like you don't even know who this guy is. He's a stranger.
Like, everything. He's like, you can't go by yourself. You can't talk to this man. And she's like, you want me to move on, and now I can't talk to this man.
Yeah,
he's like, he's literally like losing his ever loving mind.
Like literally spiraling, like internally just spiraling, and she's just sitting there giggling. But I think that's the beauty of the fact that they know each other and why it works in such a good light with the story. So it's not coming across as her as pathetic because she knows what she's doing to him. Because, but then again, like, I think that just radiates her confidence of the sense of like, she knows what she means to him.
Yeah.
He just needs to be able to finally admit it and come clean with it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. She's like, just tell me. She's like, and she's even like, she's like, if you just tell me, I'll stop. She's like, I just want to hear you say it. And like, he can't. And then she's like, all right, well, then tell me you don't love me.
Yeah.
And he can't lie to her either.
Nope, he can't do it. I feel like if we had a visual, it'd be like him just like simmering and boiling and you'd see like the red creeping up.
Like he's so pathetic. Yes. And I loved it.
Yes.
Yes. And like, I mean that in the best way because I feel like he's also like brooding. He's kind of an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
The people that he loves, like he would literally like skin himself. The people he loves, he would like go to bat for a million times. He's like secretly like really soft on the inside. His biggest fantasy in life or sexual fantasy is coming home from work and just like seeing and like Maya just like living at his house. He's like, I never even make it as far. Like he's like, I basically come apart before before I even get to the fantasy of us being together physically. Like just you being in my kitchen, like working on something is like enough to put him over the edge. Like that's what I mean when I say he's so pathetic. Like, and their banter is so funny because she's like obviously like bubbly and haha and whatever. It's very like grumpy sunshine, but they have like so many like little bits and inside jokes. I saw somebody do a review that didn't like the book And they're like, oh my God, like he's only 38. And like everything was about how old he is. And I'm like, no, it's like they're being sarcastic. Like they're joking with each other. Like,
yeah, what are, yeah.
He's that, not, yeah. Act, like he doesn't actually like think that he can only, like when he makes a comment about like, oh, if I come, like I'll be out of like, I got to call out of work for like the next 3 to 5.
Yeah, like it's a joke. Yeah. Like there is, again, there's that age gap there. So there's.
It's a bit.
Yeah.
It's like a bit that they do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I make fun of Tom for being older, but he's literally only, what, like a year older than me and a year and a half? Like,
yeah.
But that's just what you do.
Yeah. And like, I just make jokes about myself. I'll be like, oh my God, like I'm 36 now. Like, hangovers last 2 weeks. I mean, like, yeah. True. But it's, yeah, it's like a bit. It's like a bit that they do. And I was like, they're Allie Hazelwood just like writes amazing banter.
Yes. It's top
notch. All of her books are very funny. I think if you aren't sarcastic, you don't, can't always pick up like, the banter is very sarcastic. Like,
and if you, okay, so if you are someone who can't always easily identify, then you should do the audio.
Yeah.
Because you could easily, the narrators do such a good job of completely making it in your face, of like, obvious that this is a joke.
Yeah. Like, at one part, like, they're, like, having this, like, kind of deeper conversation, and he, like, of course brings up again that he's, like, so much older, and she's just like, you are so boring.
Yeah.
Because, like he's just constantly, but, like, the way that they say it, it's, like, funny. Like, and then, like, he kind of, like, chuckles, like, a little bit, and he's like, I know. And then the whole breeding kink, I don't know what I'm saying, it wasn't really a conversation, like, remark, and she's like, oh, like, I have a kink for, like, older men. And he, like, kind of is, like, and she's like, no, I'm just kidding. Like, you're the only older man that I have, like, a kink for.
Again, like you're saying, but, it's a bit. Yeah, like, it's supposed to be funny. It's cute. It's again, she, like, think of, like, Maya holding a chisel. Like, all these conversations and funny, like, jokes and little poking fun is getting him to drop that huge armor that he's just built up around him.
Yes.
Tis all it is. It's all good and fun.
It is all good and fun. The word problematic is used
so much.
Lot. But I think it is one of those things that, like, he probably said it once, she made fun of him for it, and so he, like, is constantly, like...
Yeah.
And she's, like... And he's, like, so problematic. But I did pick up on that. I was, like, okay, like, I don't need to see the word again.
It's one thing we can stop doing. Thank you.
Connor Harkness decided that he wanted someone to know him, and he chose me. I, like, love, like, the conversation she has with Manami when... Manami's like, it's so hard to know him. You have to like pull information out of him. Like, and she's like, oh my God, no, he just like, like, that's the thing. A lot of like love languages are different for everybody. I am a words of affirmation girl. Like, I need, as far as like what I need, like, I need words of affirmation. I need you to tell me I'm pretty. I need you to tell me you love me. I need you to tell me you think I'm like the best person in the entire world. Gil is more action oriented. So he shows his love in action, not in words, which like sometimes I'm like, just say it.
Just fucking say something to me, bitch.
Yeah. But I know more. I know that he loves me more in, like, his actions. He's very, like, acts of service. And I think with Connor, I was going somewhere with this. Like, he's so, like, Maya, I think, is more, like, she's just going to tell you straight up exactly how she feels. Where he is going to do little things that are going to show it. So, like, him just, like, opening up about his family. Shows
huge.
It like him feeding her all the time and making sure she has food. Yeah, like shows it. There's all these like little things sprinkled throughout that you pick up on and that Maya picks up on. So she knows how he feels. Yeah. It's just that he refuses to ever say it.
And I think it just again another layer of like why this isn't her being pathetic. Because they started to build up that friendship.
Yeah.
And she's very blunt, right? Like, again, someone who's kind of been through some shit, she mentions, like, all the drugs that she's tried. Like, she, like, you know what I mean? Like,
you know, I think she's so funny. I want to be her friend.
Same. But she kind of has herself figured out. And, like, again, to be 23 and have yourself figured out is a pretty big feat and fucking admirable from outside looking in. So, like, because she's gotten good glimpses and has a great judge of character, I think that's, like, something to call out about her as well. I think it just works out that she can easily identify, like, oh, no, this is him showing that he cares. So,
yeah.
Also, kudos to the friends for being very again, in my mind,
there was no, like, drama around it. Like, it was all
you.
Him, his internal he was worried, like, I'm older than you and I make a lot of money. And like, she kept being like, I have money. Eli has money. And he just gives me his money. Like, I'm not with you because you have money. And he was just like, so I think that's why I like the age gap too, because it was very prevalent where he was like,
yeah,
I don't want this to be like uneven footing or anything like that. Yes. And she was like,
true life conversation.
Yeah. And she makes a comment. I'm not even going to bother looking for it, but she makes like some comment about like the money thing. And he's like, no, the problem, because she's like, I don't expect you to pay for things. He's like, no, that's the problem. He's like, I want to spend as much money to make all your problems go away. He's like, I want to like give you everything that you want plus whatever I want to get. Like, he's like, I just want to shower you. And like, I don't want that to like
be a different. Does Connor Harkness want to take me in?
I know. He's like, I don't want the power dynamic to shift because like I'm going to have to hold myself back from just like spoiling you rotten basically. And I'm like,
Hello.
Like, we're over here.
Literally.
You can take advantage of me with your money.
Please.
Please, Connor.
So true.
I'm too age appropriate for him, I guess.
We are a little too age appropriate. We're right on the money. Oh, it was really good, though.
It was really good.
I think right now, right now, this is my number one favorite of her books.
I do want to reread her other books. Not all of them. I do want to do the Love Hypothesis, Love on the Brain, Love Theoretically.
I very much enjoyed those.
I loved them. And I feel like it's been like 3 years since I've read, or over 3 years since I read the Love Hypothesis. So like, it's hard for me to like remember and like rank it. I know that Love Theoretically, Not in Love, and this are my favorites so far. My top three. And I think it's just the way that she like wrote, even just like the things that Connor says to Maya.
Yeah.
Like about like she's like, I'm not even wearing like revealing bikinis or anything. Like, you're basically calling him crazy. And he's like, it's the way you take over the space around you. You remind me constantly, loudly, indecently of all the little things that make you you. It's impossible to escape. And it makes me very angry. Like the way that he like formed, I mean, I know it's like, he's not a real person, but the way that he forms like these declarations of love without ever saying I love you.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's so good.
And again, I think that's just the beauty of him as well. Like, the things that he says are very impactful and meaningful.
Yes.
He doesn't need to throw out the three letters, the three words, I should say.
And then when we finally do get it. So she thinks that she's like finally cracking him.
Yeah.
They have sex, whatever. And then he's still.
He's such a jerk.
Kind of a dick. And she's like, it kind of dawns on her. She's like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm starting to realize that it really, like, it has nothing to do with me. There's nothing that I could do. He is so stubborn.
Yes.
That this is just it's a losing battle. I'm done. She finally is like, I'm done. I'm going to bow out.
Yeah.
And she leaves the room. She hears him, like, throw a glass. Like, I don't know why. I, like, love that. How she, like, she's like, and then I hear a glass shatter. And I'm like, oh, Connor.
The dramatics.
And the next morning, they're woken up early by Rue and Eli. They're like, fuck this. Fuck our cursed wedding. Everything that can go wrong is gone. We're going to get married right now. We just need the two of you with us.
Yeah.
And they do. And Maya's like, all right, I want to like stay and explore this. Like, they're in like a national park.
Like a park. Yeah.
Yeah. And Connor's like, I'm going to stay with you. And she's like, you really don't have to. Like, and he's whatever. And then he like finally is like, babe. He's like, babe, I love you. Basically. But he does end up saying it. He's like, you were right. I was wrong. Like, what am I doing? I finally found somebody that I like love and can be with. And why would I like spend all my time by myself, like yearning for you, when I can just like be happy in this life, essentially. And she's like kind of hesitant. And he's like, no, I get it. And that's when he's like, I want to marry you. I want to have your babies. Like, I'll do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it 10 years from now. He's like,
yeah,
we're on your timeline. You're 23. Like, you're still figuring your shit out. But like, just know that whenever you're ready,
like I'm am there. Too.
Yeah.
Just took her finally pulling away.
Like, I know.
Giving her, like, I think she couldn't have done that earlier though. Right. Like, we saw it kind of happen where there was a little bit of a gap in time when they weren't speaking before the wedding. So I think them finally coming together, full circle, being together with each other in Italy for a week, having a little bit of a rendezvous, if you will, and then pulling back, like, he got a taste of what life would be like with her. And I think that's the pertinent thing that helped him realize, like, oh, shit, Like, yeah. I'm making myself miserable for what reason?
Yeah. And he's like, he's trying to express, he's literally like in his like love confession. He's like, he's kissing her. She's like the first, like their first like real kiss. He's like telling her like everything. And then he's like, I'm fucking it up. I'm doing it all wrong again. And he's like, I should have just led with the only thing that matters. And she's like, what is it? And he says, basically, yeah. I love you and it's never going to pass. And obviously then like, this is like really like right towards the end. And they end up having to spend a few weeks apart because of like the shit with work and shit with Tamron and his dad's will and like all that. And she's like worried. She's like, great. We're spending this time apart and he's going to like change his mind, whatever. Obviously that doesn't happen. He ends up like kind of proposing to her at the end of the book.
Yeah.
She like makes a joke. And he like goes and he's like, I have a ring. He's like, this can be an engagement ring. It can be like a promise that I'm literally not going anywhere. It could be like,
whatever
we
you
can
want.
Be engaged for the rest of your life. Yeah. He's like, whatever you want this to mean is what it means. But he's like, here but I'm is. Here.
Yeah.
And I just, it took him a long time to get there. But once he was there, turning his head.
No. Like he was on. It was cranked up and like broken and stuck there.
Cranked up to 1,000. So Rue and Eli, Not in Love, was supposed to be a standalone. And then we knew that Maya had a thing for Connor in that book. She like makes like little jokes to Eli, whatever. And Allie was going to write a short story, a little novella about the two of them. And it turned into obviously a full length book, which is why it was so crazy how this was barely marketed. Like we just like one day, like a month before, she was like, I'm releasing a book. And then it came out and like Deep End was like for like a year. Yeah. It was like talked about and it was like really promoted. This was just kind of dropped on us because it wasn't supposed to be. But now after reading this, I think she's going to write a third in this series with Axel, the hockey player.
I hope so.
And the lawyer. And I'm like blanking on her name. I want to say it was like Neota.
It was a really cool name.
Yeah, I think it's Neota.
I think you might be right.
And Axel, because like there's like Axel's a moron, or he's like everybody's made to think that he's like this big dumb idiot. And she's talking in the beginning. She's like, ugh, like I like going to weddings to hook up with guys. Like she's very like self-assured, confident, smart lawyer woman, whatever, blah blah blah. And the only single guys are Paul, Axel, his brother, and Connor. And Connor's obviously off limits. And I feel like there's just some like silly like bickering and like whatever between like Neota and Axel. And I could even see that like behind the scenes, like they like one of the last nights in Sicily, they end up like hooking up and then like go their separate ways. But I just feel like we are going to get a book about them. So
I hope so.
If we do, roll the tapes back that I said it on June 10th.
Said it here first.
But Allie's like really setting up something for them. And I would love it. I love it. It would be reverse Grumpy Sunshine, right? Because Axel's like the big dumb golden retriever, like idiot. Neota's obviously the grump. Like she's very, I don't know. I can't even explain her. I love her character. And I would just love to see the two of them together. And you know, Axel's obviously a lot deeper than like we're made to believe. Like he's not this just like big, like doofy idiot. I feel like Eli like wouldn't keep him around for so long. They've been friends forever. And also like Allie Hazelwood writing a hockey romance. Let me see that.
Here for it.
Let me see that.
I'd be curious.
I'm a hard judge when it comes to hockey romances. I know. So I will be the first one to say whether I liked it or not. But I want her to at least try.
I'm game for it. Also, I'm curious about him. Like he got mad about like not knowing who he played for. Like there are some things I'm like,
I just feel like he would be very funny.
Yes.
Like to read about.
I agree.
So yeah, 5 stars. Obviously.
5 bajillion stars. It was so
next
good.
Week we are doing Spilling the Tea. So the 18th we'll be Spilling the Tea, and the 25th we will be reviewing Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which I'm excited about. I downloaded the audiobook.
I'm gonna do the audio too. And then I'm gonna do it no matter what. But like I hear it's driven people to tears.
Oh yeah, so I've heard it's very emotional, but I know that it's a whole cast of characters, like how the Daisy Jones audiobook was. Because I bought the book. I found, actually last week when I was in New York, I found a signed copy and I was like, oh my God, well, I'm going to buy it. And then I like saw that the audiobook was like a cast of characters. So I'm going to do the audio.
Same. I'm almost on the Love Haters by Catherine Zenter, and I'm going to start it next. It's adorable. It's Catherine Zenter. Just to the team. But like, I'm like, okay, so do I like not listen to this on a run so I don't cry and like choke on my snot? Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to, but I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'm a little nervous.
Keep me posted. I'm like even more curious. Well, I mean, we'll discuss it completely on the podcast, but if you do end up crying, send me a picture.
I'm going to be like in the middle of freaking Union Beach, just like sobbing. Tears pouring down my face, like wiping at my face. Yes, I'll keep you posted. I'll document if I do cry, which we all know me and I probably will. So
I'm looking forward to it. It is about astronauts. That's literally all I know about it.
Yeah. And it's sapphic.
It's sapphic. Yeah. Sapphic astronauts. Like
1984, I think it starts in.
We need more of that.
Yes, I'm here for it. We need
more of that. Just like women in STEM. I think that's it.
That's all I have.
Right? Yeah. Next week, spilling the tea. Then atmosphere. July is its own beast. You'll get the. We'll figure that out later. What days are you traveling next week?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm
okay. So we're good to record on Tuesday. Okay.
We good.
And if anybody's listening, I know that one of our followers, Bailey. Shout out, Bailey. Hello. Was wondering my thoughts and opinions on Claiming 10 and asked if I would be discussing it on the podcast, and I will be discussing it next week. So if anybody was wondering, you can wait till next week
Therese
and you'll hear all my
thoughts.
They might be good. They might be bad. They might be mixed bag. You'll have to wait and see. You can wait 7 days. I believe in you.
Oh my God.
Anyway, Katie Jean, I have to go get ready for dinner. So can you please send us out?
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.